Welcome to Conversations with the Masters with your host, Master Certified Coach Mary Allen. This special interview series is designed to enlighten and empower you by bringing you the best-selling authors, speakers, and organizations of our time. So get ready to listen not only with your ears and mind, but with your entire being. And now, here's your host, Mary Allen.
Let me officially offer a warm, warm welcome to everyone today. As you know, this is Mary Allen, your host of Conversations with the Masters. I'm a professional life coach here in California and author of The Power of Inner Choice. But more importantly, I am so excited about getting your year off to an amazing start with our very special interview today. And before I introduce our special guest, and I know you all know who he is, but I want to really acknowledge all of you that are listening here today. I know how busy you all are, and I really know what it means to set aside an hour of your time. And I also really know how committed that each of you are to your own growth and success, or you wouldn't be here. And I can assure that your time investment today is going to be worth every single minute. And I really want you to get it all. So I just want to encourage at the beginning of the call here to pull out your notebook, a journal, clear any other potential distractions so you just don't miss a word. I also want to mention that we are recording the call, so in the next few days you'll be receiving information about how to access that recording for maybe a second listen or maybe to pass on to a friend who wasn't able to join all of us today. So just thank all 400-ish of you for being here, and really want to thank my guest, Jim Rohn. So, Jim, I know you're here with us today to lend some of your ideas that have shaped your life. First off, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing very well. Fortunately, I happen to be at home in Beverly Hills.
Wonderful.
Just back from Manila in the Philippines and Hong Kong, and headed soon to Bogota, Colombia, Japan. Yeah. But at the moment, here I am.
Here you are.
And I'm delighted to be on this call.
Well, we are so delighted to have you here. And for those that may be listening in the future, I just want to mention a few things about your background. Anytime I think about your background, I get so awed by your accomplishments and the impact that you've had. I know you've been speaking for the last 39, maybe longer, years and addressing over 6,000 audiences and 4 million people worldwide. But just to really take all that in, what it means to speak to 4 million people. And I know you've also authored 17 different books, audio, video programs, including some of my all-time personal favorites, How to Build an Unshakable Character and The Art of Exceptional Living. And I just know you are just doing so much to make an impact in this world, and I'm just so grateful for that.
Well, thank you very much. You know, it happened for me, so I'm just, you know, excited about passing it on all these years.
Yes, well, I'm excited for that as well. It was back in 1995 when I was first introduced to you in Dallas, Texas. We were both a part of a personal development TV network called TPN, you probably remember.
I do.
And, of course, you were one of the most featured speakers, and I dare say really, truly, probably the speaker that truly created the largest ripple in my life. I actually, after TPN, went on to become a coach. I've been coaching for 8 years and just published my first book 2 years ago, and you've really been a huge influence to that. So,
well, fantastic. For all of us who teach, you know, it's just so exciting to get the feedback of someone who didn't just listen but put it to work and made it happen.
Well, and so I know the vast majority of our listeners today are actually just learning about you for the very first time. And so while you're obviously a very accomplished business person now and traveling all over the world, I think I remember hearing that it wasn't always that way, that that there was something I remember about the crossed finger theory. And
yes.
Maybe you could tell us just a little bit about your story and kind of where you started and what started turning that all around.
Well, I quit school at age 19. My reasoning was, I'm smart enough to get a job. How much smarter do you need to be? So with that sort of shallow thinking, I quit school, got a job, went to work. A little while later, you know, got married, started my little family, and, you know, working hard trying to make ends meet. Creditors calling once in a while and saying, you told us the check was in the mail. And by the time I reached 25, you know, not destitute, but, you know, I am behind and struggling and, you know, trying to make it go with a young family. And then a friend of mine told me about someone he worked for, and his name was Mr. Earl Schoaf. He said, this man is extraordinary. He's rich, but he's easy to talk to, and he has a unique philosophy of business and life. And the more he talked, the more I thought, I got to meet this man. The good fortune for me was I did have a chance to meet Mr. Earl Schoaf. I was 25 years old. Obviously, when I met him, obviously he was rich, and but he was easy to talk to. Just intrigued me to no end, and I thought, wow, if I could only be like that, or if I could get around someone like him, and if I could learn it, I think I could change my life, and that was my good fortune. He invited me to join his company. And over the next 5 years that he was alive, he died young at age 49, but I got a chance during that next 5 years before he died to gain from his wisdom ideas that just changed everything for me. My parents gave me an excellent start, but he really opened up the world, changed my economics. You know, I was a millionaire by age, between age 31 and 32. Just changed my whole life, my outlook, my understanding about basics and fundamentals and how to build a business and, you know, how to, you know, manage people, how to create enterprise, just revolutionized my life. So from my only 1 year of college education, I picked up, you know, this accelerated personal development education, and it just really totally changed my life.
Well, and I know one of the things you really talk a lot about is about how you developed a personal philosophy, and how, and I was even thinking today, it's like, what is my personal philosophy? I haven't actually written it down per
right.
se, but...
Well, as you mentioned, mine before I met Mr. Schoaf was just, you know, hoping for the best. You know, surely taxes will come down, and surely prices will be easier, and surely circumstances will be better, and... surely the politics of the country will change for the better and my life will be better. But I found out that really isn't what makes it better.
That was the crossed finger theory?
Yes, true. Hoping things will change. And then he gave me this unique philosophy to consider, that it wasn't outside that was going to determine my income and my future and my happiness and my lifestyle. It was all the stuff that was inside, my consciousness, my heart, my soul. And he gave me the famous line, and I've used it all these years. He said, for things to change for you, Mr. Rohn, you've got to change. Don't wish for the government to change or the weather to change or circumstances to change or prices to change or things to get easier. He said, don't wish it was easier, wish you were better. That simple, basic concept that turned everything around, instead of me looking out there as to where all my challenges and problems were, I started looking inside. And I started making those changes, you know, those next 2-3 years. It was amazing what happened.
So what were some of the core things that shifted inside of you? Like, once you really got that it was, it's an inside job.
Yeah.
What shifted?
Mainly you started with the very practical. He said, you know, show me your present list of goals and let's go over them and talk about them. And I said, I don't have a list. So right away, you know, he started zeroing in on some of my neglect of the past that had brought me to that fairly, you know, poor place at age 25. He said, what's been your detailed financial plan the last 6 years since you, you know, went to work? And, of course, I didn't have one. And all those just very simple, basic questions. And the very basic one was, you know, you know, you've been working 6 years, how are you doing? And I said, not very well. And he said, I suggest you not do that anymore. So
good
that
idea.
Was a swift analysis of my current situation. He said, surely you don't want another 6 years like the last six. I said, certainly not. He said, well, then let's go to work and change it all. Let's use the experience of the past, refine it, correct your errors in judgment, and make it all change. And that's exactly what we did. So from pennies in my pocket, age 25, to becoming a millionaire over the next 6.5 years, what a contrast from that 6 years versus the first six from age 19 to 25. And it was all these simple, basic things. And what I'm teaching now is, you know, personal development is the answer to all good things for the future. For the 21st century, you need more than one skill. You know, at age 25, I'm in Southwest Idaho, where I still have the old family farm and make a little wine, grow a few crops, and, you know, enjoy life overlooking the Snake River. But, you know, that first 6 years, I just had very limited skills. I knew how to milk cows. It didn't pay very well.
So,
starting age 25, I started learning extra skills, you know, sales and recruiting and management and leadership and entrepreneur and all of that, and it all changed. One that did it probably the most was, he said, you know, profits are better than wages.
Yes.
Wages make you a living. Profits make you a fortune. So, good question, right? I'm 25. How are you doing on the profit side of your life? And I hadn't even thought about that. But once I learned it, everything changed.
Well, and regarding profits, because I know there's a lot of people that can take that concept and say, yeah, I guess it is, you know, better to focus on profits than wages. But then there's a group of people that get really comfortable with, they want to contribute, and, you know, there can be something that gets in the way of feeling deserving of those profits. Like, what allows you to really own those profits?
Well, I teach the wealth formula, and that justifies it all, because that's what personal development is all about. First, developing your own personal philosophy, and then the philosophies that will work for you for the future. The question was asked, you know, in a Bible setting 2,000 years ago, what's the secret to greatness? And the answer was given, find a way to serve the many. So if you serve the many, become wealthy, you know, it's good for them, good for you, win-win, everybody. Zig Ziglar probably said it best, if you help enough people get what they want, you can have everything you want. So it's not a matter of being selfish, it's just a matter of being smart. And then John Kennedy probably said it the best, don't ask what your country can do for you. That's not how you get rich. It's not how you become wealthy. It's not how you have high self-esteem. That's not how you get the accolades and the respect and the trophies. So don't ask what your country can do for you, but ask, what could I do for my country, the people of my country? Starting with my family, have I got an answer they might need? Have I got a product that would serve them well? And then just expand it. Do business here, then eventually do business around the world. You know, I travel to many countries around the world. I'm going back to Russia this year. I've made about 6 trips in the last 12 years teaching capitalism to the Russians. But all those basic fundamentals, that first 5 years from age 25 to 30 just really changed my life. But if you understand that, the formula for wealth, help enough people get what they want, profits are better than wages. And it's just like learning. You know, formal education gets you a job. Self-education gets you rich. All those little gems of understanding and awareness just opened up my mind and changed my whole life. And I've just been deliriously happy, you know, sharing it for now almost the last 50 years.
Wow. So it's been 50 years now.
Yeah.
Well, so where would somebody start in developing their own personal philosophy?
Well, I think that's it. You know, my mentor said, start with a list of goals. What do you want to accomplish? There's no use working on something that you don't really want. You know, what do you really want? For your family, for yourself, for your business, what do you want to share eventually in the future? Andrew Carnegie had this great goal. He said, I'm going to spend the first half of my life earning and accumulating money, and I'm going to spend the last half of my life giving it all away. And he got so inspired by that goal that the first half of his life he accumulated, earned and accumulated $400 million, which back in the 30s was staggering money. And then the great story about Andrew Carnegie was the last half of his life, he gave it all away. So once you hear that story, I ask you, you know, what's got you turned on? And you turn around and ask me, Mr. Rohn, what's got you turned on? And we compare notes. And I say, here's my list. And then you might say, well, gosh, I really don't have a list. So that's a great place to start. Where would you like to go? What would you like to accomplish? How rich would you like to be? How much would you like to give away? Would you like to live an incredibly flourishing, powerful, influential life? If that's what you want, it's all available. And the key is then to start laying the strategy to make sure it happens.
Well, and you really emphasized, too, about focusing on creating value for people. And one of the ways that we can do that is by developing certain developing skills. I think you even say that there's 7 skills that turned your life around.
Yeah, I just, that economic equation, Mary, I give. We get paid for bringing value to the marketplace. And it depends on how much you want to get paid. In terms of economics, just bring the value. And it's the value we bring, like a product or service, but the biggest pay all of us receive is pay for the value we become. Management, entrepreneur, leader, visionary, you know, that's what pays the biggest money. So we get paid for what we bring and we get paid for what we become. So in becoming, we just have to determine, I'm going to become as valuable as I can, especially in the marketplace, you know, where the fortune is. Because the two big challenges of life are these. One, the full development of all your potential, and second is the wise use of all your resources. And that's about as simple as you can put it. It's a big challenge, but it's also a huge opportunity to maximize your potential in terms of what you earn, you know, how you serve, and who you become, and let that serve you well for the future.
Well, and I love what you say about, I guess your mentor said, become a millionaire not for the money, but for the person you'll become in the process of getting there.
That's right. He said, set a goal to become a millionaire for what it will make of you to achieve it. I had never thought about that.
What kind of shift?
Because I'd always thought about the money. Wouldn't it be nice to have $1 million? He said, well, let me tell you the final answer. If you figure out how to become worth $1 million, is when you get it, you can give it away, because the greatest value is what you became, not what you got. That was brand new thinking for me. I hadn't thought about that kind of approach to life.
What do you think does shift inside a person who truly does become a millionaire? Because you've probably seen it over the years and also in yourself.
Well, we all have to, you know, withstand all the temptations, whether you're rich or poor. So in the process of personal development, you got all the same challenges. You know, the rich must be taught not to be arrogant, and the poor must be taught not to be cynical, because both can destroy you. So it's really not a matter of amount of money. It's amount of progress, development, becoming attractive to the marketplace by who you are and the skills you've got, the refinement of personality, capability of using your language to inspire. And that's when I came up with, you know, those lists of skills that I learned that just totally changed my life.
What are on the list of 7 skills?
The first one was getting customers. You know, I knew how to milk cows, didn't pay very well. Then I found a product in health and nutrition that I, you know, really believed in, because my mother was a health fanatic.
Mm-hmm.
She added 20 extra years to her life by, you know, radically, you know, studying and practicing health and nutrition. So I got excited about this product and had never sold anything. And so that first skill that started changing my income and my future was getting customers, keeping them satisfied, expanding that, getting referrals. A customer well taken care of is, you know, more valuable than, you know, $1,000 worth of advertising. All of those things I learned by just learning how to present a product so well someone says, yes, I'll buy, and then take care of them so well They open doors you couldn't open by yourself. Then the next skill I learned was finding good people. And I relied on a promise my parents had taught me out of the Bible that said, if you search, you will find. Finding is reserved for those who search. Not those who wish, not those who hope, but those who search. So I learned how to search for good people. And if you search for them, you'll find them. Then the next skill I learned was getting people to work together. And that's when my fortune really started increasing.
What's the key to getting people to work together?
Yeah, I relied on another promise that said, if two or three agree on a common purpose, nothing's impossible. So I found that that's magical. Two or three can do the most extraordinary things. All by yourself, you can only do so much. Your arms are only so long. Your influence only reaches so far. But if two or three get together, it doesn't multiply the power by two or three. It probably multiplies the power by, 10, 20, 30, 50, 100. I learned the magic of that, finding good people, then getting people to work together. Then I learned the incredible value of reward and recognition, rewarding people for even little small steps of progress. Companies usually reward for big steps, big productivity. But I learned the magic of rewarding people for every little thing I could think of. Because it brings just high energy, gratitude, all those, uniquely spiritual things to someone's success program. And then I come up with this philosophy, be so busy giving other people recognition, you really don't need it for yourself.
That's a good one.
Once you reach that point, it's exciting. Another one was to finally become financially independent. So you could, if you wanted to, live from the income of your invested resources. But then if you decide to keep working, now you can work for joy and not for necessity. I had never thought about that. Imagine being able to work for joy and not for necessity. Those were just some simple goals I set in those early days. Then the next set of skills was communication, affecting other people with your language. First was training. I got paid extremely well starting to do training back in, the middle 50s. Showing people how the job works. Then the next skill is teaching. Like my mentor did for me, teaching people how to set goals, teaching people how to manage their time, teaching people what to do with their money. I come up with that money formula, 70, 10, 10, and 10. And, don't buy the second car till you bought the second house. Just a bit of money management. That's what we call teaching. Training is how the job works. Teaching is how life works. So you need not only job skills, but life skills. And the better you get at doing either one of those, the pay can be just astronomical.
And so regardless of what kind of business somebody's in, like I can see how this would apply to every single business.
Everyone.
It's really if we're keeping making happy customers and we're rewarding and acknowledging people and
sure.
All of that.
Because we need to learn how to do life well as do the job well. You might do job well and mess up the life by, poor thinking like me, hoping things will get better rather than going out and making it better. Then the ultimate skill, of course, that paid me the most, made several fortunes, starting back there in 1962, was learning to inspire, helping people to see themselves better than they are. Just transporting people into the future, painting them a picture by language of the possibilities of the money, the income, the self-esteem, the prestige, the influence, the unique person that you can be. Then I come up with this little line. I'm having everybody memorize it now in my seminars, and it goes like this. From testimonials and personal experience, we have enough information to conclude that it's possible to design and live an extraordinary life.
Love that.
I'm putting that in now because that's really true. We have enough information from testimonials, people that have already done it, And from our own experience, we've done a lot of learning that it's possible to take all of that and refine it and use it to design and live an extraordinary life. So it's really everybody's possibility to design and live an extraordinary life. Not that you have to, you know. You can, you know, live wherever you wish to live, do whatever you wish to do, but the key is to attend enough lectures, seminars, get in on enough programs like you've got going, so people can really first understand the possibilities, the testimonials. As you know, most of these dramatic, unique testimonials of someone who started with pennies and now they're rich, they wind up like this. Look, if I can do it, you can do it. You know, if I can start with nothing, if I can start in debt, if I can start overwhelmed, if I can start scared, look, that's where I was, and I did it, and you can do it. Gosh, you just, the value of those testimonials is just fantastic.
Well, so true. Well, and here's one question about just the process of becoming, and so much in the personal growth field, there's also this thing about, well, you know, we should also love ourselves and self-acceptance, love ourselves as we are. And I see sometimes people focus on becoming more, becoming more, becoming more, kind of on the treadmill. It's like, is there kind of a, you know, a balance to accepting ourselves and yet still having ourselves grow?
Well, you have to accept yourself as you are because that's where you are, but you also have to accept that we were designed for the future. If you say, well, I just accept myself the way I am, then it's over, die, and go away.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what life's all about. Yes, you accept where you are. You accept who you are. You accept how you are. Now what must I do to use where I am, who I am, what I've got, what are my resources to make changes for the better? The farmer as he is a nice guy, he's unique, he accepts himself as he is. But the law says if he doesn't plant, come harvest time, his family may starve because he has no return. So now he must become a person of industry. He must become a person of skills, knowledge. He must do the work of summer, you know, nourish his crop like a mother and protect it like a father. He must do all of those things and show increase, because that's what life is all about. What is the reason for the seasons and the seed and the soil and the sunshine and the rain and the miracle of life? It's a simple answer that says to see what you can do with it. So I ask you, what can you do with it? You say, I don't know. You ask me, what can you do with it? I said, I don't know, but I'm going to try to figure it out and see if I can do something remarkable. Yes, you could do something just ordinary. You could do something enough to get by. But you could also do something that would make your return extraordinary. And that's what I'm really now starting to teach. It's possible to live an extraordinary life. Not that you have to. The man who says, well, I'm heading for the mountains. I'm cashing it all in. I'm going to build a cabin. I'm going to live off the land. And I'm going to feed the squirrels. If he goes off and does that, in my opinion, he's a smashing success. Because that was his vision. That's what he wanted to do. So we can't criticize where a person is. A person of modest means that says, here's where I wish to stay. If that's where they wish to stay, you know, that's wonderful for them.
Well, and
you can't say, no, you've got to have a Ferrari and you got to live in a $5 million home. You can't deal in those kind of terms.
Well, and I know you really also talk about in really creating these extraordinary lives, it's not just about studying success. It's really about learning about philosophy. It's learning about money and relationships and health and
sure.
And politics.
Question, should you do wise things with your money?
Mm-hmm.
Almost everybody, you know, even super spiritual people would probably say, well, yes, you probably should do wise things with your money. Say, well, how many books have you read in the last 2 years on how to do wise things with your money? And the answer would probably be zero. So when we come right down to it.
Kind of makes sense.
Yeah, here's a good philosophy over on the moral question. If you could do better, should you? That's a good question.
A great question to ponder.
If you could improve your daily life, should you? If you could improve your relationship, should you? If you could earn more money and share more, should you? So it's not that everybody should in terms of it's a law, but just the possibilities.
You're listening to Conversations with the Masters with host Mary Allen. Mary Allen is a pioneer and leader in the coaching industry and author of the life-altering book, The Power of Inner Choice, 12 Weeks to Living a Life You Love, available everywhere. For more information on this and other coaching services designed to enlighten and empower you, visit lifecoachmary.com. And now, back to our conversation with the Masters.
I know that there's some of these areas, and actually having re-listened to The Art of Exceptional Living and kind of being reminded of all the areas, you know, there's like a few areas where, like politics, for example, where I have had my head in the sand until my recent husband has educated me a bit more. But, like, why is it important to learn about politics, for example?
Well, you want to be a good citizen. So to learn the issues, you know, vote the best you can. But then not rely on that, you know, for your future, mostly for everybody's future. Someone said to me, "And aren't taxes too high?" I said, "Well, yes, you know, for most everybody, not for me, but, you know, for most everybody, yes. I think the government should find every way possible to reduce taxes. It doesn't matter that much to me, you know, for the formulas that I've found and created my own wealth and success. But, you know, for the general population, yes, I think taxes are too high. But if everybody says, that's going to change my life if we can all get together and reduce taxes, say, really, not really.
Well,
say, well, the Democrats now are going to get in power. Surely now our life is going to be okay. Well, I wouldn't really count on that.
Right.
Somebody says, the Republicans have got control now, so, you know, lean back. It's all going to be okay. And I say, well, really, maybe not. You might hope, you know, either party is your party and you hope, you know, the government's going to get better and things are going to be better and leaders are going to be stronger. But just in case it doesn't lean your way left or right, what you should do is take personal responsibility and create your own extraordinary life no matter which way it leans.
Right, right, right. Well, and you also say important to learn to debate both sides of the question, which
yes.
is true in politics. Why is that important?
Well, it's politics and everything else. Here's a book on good health says, do this, you'll live forever. Second book says, if you do what that first book says, you'll die young. And someone says to me, which one of these books should I really consider and follow? I said, neither one. Read both books and make up your own mind.
Yeah.
But make sure what you do is the product of your own conclusion, not just following orders from someone else. So politics, it's the same way. You know, for most of the 20th century, the world was ruled on the dark side by tyranny and you know, dictators. But when the walls came down in Germany, 16, 17 years ago, that all changed. Now most of the world has democracy and freedom, and even China is changing. There's 230,000 millionaires now in China.
Wow.
The new billionaires are coming from India. It's a whole new world. So I'm teaching now, Mary, that especially to be economically successful in the 21st century, you need more than one skill, probably more than one language. And why not get busy? Because with just one skill, you're vulnerable. Here's a guy that's worked for General Motors for 15 years. They just shut down a couple of the plants. He loses his job, and he says, I'm already in financial trouble. And the reason we automatically can see is because he only had one skill. If he would have taken accounting two nights a week for the last, you know, two, 3 years, he'd have an extra skill to rely on. But instead, he just, you know, crossed his fingers like I did and kept putting the front wheel on the automobile for 15 years and didn't really think about, you know, the ups and downs of life and is he as financially secure, economically viable as he could be. So that's what our seminars really are for, conference calls like this. Make us think, take notes, ponder. What could I do to improve language, my vision of the future, my ability to inspire my family, to be a good citizen, entrepreneur? Could I add a few more millions to my fortune so I'll have plenty to give, not just to use?
Great questions. Great to have everybody even think, you know, what are really the top five skills that you really need to work on developing in 2007?
Because sure. It's all available. What does night school cost? Adult night school.
I don't know, but
I think some of it's for free. There's just no reason not to develop more than one skill and more than one language. Some of my business colleagues that speak three or four languages make $3-4 million a year. Each language pays, you know, $1 million. So it's easy to get lazy and just go to work, come home, watch television, not do much.
It sure is.
I asked a young man one time many years ago what his television cost, and he said $400. I said, well, that's to buy it. He said, well, what do you mean? I says, what does it cost you to watch it? And he was one of those television watchers that spent, what's the average now, 5-6 hours a day?
I think so.
The average person who watches television. I says, that television set costs you, in my personal opinion, because I knew he had some skills, it costs you at least $40,000-$45,000 a year. Not to own it. Owning it's cheap. It's watching it, so it's expensive. The misuse of time leaves people poor or with little instead of a fortune. Not lack of skills, just misuse of time.
When it comes to the things that are easy to do and easy not to do and the errors in judgment.
How true. It's just easy to sit and watch and hope for the best rather than to go out and really make it happen.
Well,
I'm talking now about time being capital,
yeah.
Capital money and capital time. And if you learn how to invest both wisely, which I'll be teaching again in Russia this year, how to invest not only your money, but how to invest your time. And time is more valuable than money. Properly invested with just a few skills, and your economics can just totally change.
So you talk a lot about things that simple disciplines. Things that are easy to do, easy not to do. What would you say for people here on this call could be some simple disciplines that would be really worthwhile in incorporating here in 2007?
You know, my mama started with good health. She said an apple a day.
The doctor away.
The doctor away. So I asked my audience, what if that's true? They say, well, Mr. Owen, if that's true, that would be easy to do. I said, then what is the problem? And the answer, of course, is it's easy not to do. What's easy to do is easy not to do. So you just can't let it slip by neglect. We all must suffer, Mary, one of two pains, the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. And the reason why you go for the discipline instead of the regret is because discipline weighs ounces and regret weighs tons. So the key is to look at your day, allocate your time, make sure it's not being just wasted. What if a farmer just was careless and lost his seed corn? Now he has no harvest come harvest time. What if he was, mistakenly generous and gave it away? He has no harvest come harvest time. What if he ate it himself? He has no harvest. What if he fed it to his family? Now come harvest time, they all starve. Because some of your value must be invested, not spent, right?
Yeah.
Yes, we must spend money, do some things for lifestyle, time and money. But the first requirement of time and money is to invest it wisely so that it multiplies. Time uninvested doesn't multiply in value. Unless the corn is planted, the corn you eat doesn't multiply. It's the corn you invest that multiplies. So corn is like time. Corn is like money. Money just spent doesn't produce a return.
So would you recommend do you recommend people going through and making a list of all the ways they're spending their time and kind of add it up? It's like these are adding up to something good. These maybe not so much.
One company I spend a lot of time with, there's one person, they're both equal in terms of recognition, but one makes about $9,000 a month. The other person makes $90,000 a month. Sarah, she lives in Mexico. She doesn't speak English. Started attending my classes, 13 years ago. She told me last month her income was $92,000, and she lives in Mexico. So it doesn't matter where you live. But then there's someone else of equal recognition in the company she works for, but they make $9,000 a month. She makes $90,000. So you just have to ponder those questions. What's the difference between $9,000 and $90,000?
That would be my question.
Sure enough, one of the major was, for Sarah, is the allocation of her time.
Great way.
It's just amazing. You got to ask yourself those tough questions. Like Shof did me, you've been working, Mr. Rohn, 6 years. And I didn't mind working. I worked hard. But he said, how are you doing after 6 years? And I said, not very well. He says, let's don't do that another six.
I think that can be a real illusion as we think we're working hard. Well, and we may very well be working hard, but just hard on the wrong things.
It's easy to mistake movement for achievement, right? Just
come
home exhausted that I've been going. And the question is, doing what? It's the what that counts, not just going. It's easy to get faked out by motion and movement and busy and active. And sure enough, after 1 year, you look back at the allocation of your time and say, wow, if I would have just turned this around, spent less time here, more time here, spent a lot less money here and invested more money here, look where I'd be just after 12 months. And you just have to start thinking that way. Because you want to maximize your future. That's what our seminars and, coaching is all about. You could just do enough to get by, and, that's one philosophy. But what if you could find the answers to flourish, to multiply the value of your life by 3, by 5, by 10, by 50?
Well, another big thing you talk about, which has really influenced me, is that we become the combined average of the 5 people we associate with most. And I have to say, sometimes I was talking with a client this morning about that sometimes I feel like a snob because when I got that message 11 years ago, it's like I really take it to heart. I'm on the hunt for great associations. But what?
No, you got to do that. My mentors did never mistake the power of influence. Some people you can be around a few minutes, but not a few hours. All of us in a busy day, wherever we work, have to be around people that they don't contribute much to our life. In fact, they take more than they contribute, but it's in the course of doing business, right? We have to do business. But so you just have to remember that little equation. Some people you can be around a few minutes, but not a few hours. Some people you can be around a few hours, but not a few days.
So how do you not feel like a snob and still manage to limit or disassociate from people?
You just have to, there's one terminology that says just walk away, but I've got a little thing to add to that. Politely walk away. Yeah. Then maybe we'll have a chance to chat some more sometime later. I'm busy, got some things to do. Walk away. Because Shof also said, stand guard at the door of your mind. It's easy to just fill up your mind with, gossip and all kinds of stuff that's not going to count much. And, yes, we all have to be around, people in the course of an average day of business, social, personal, family. But just be aware. Don't let yourself get trapped into, long hours of, non-contributing ideas to your future.
And what recommendations do you have for somebody that would want to create or expand relationships that aren't fully developed? Maybe they're not that successful. They don't have a lot of people that maybe they aspire to be like, these good associations. How can we attract more of those kinds of relationships into our life?
Well, two great places where I found a good relationship. One was in church, one was in business, and one was in community from friendship. Just have to be on the lookout for people who could make a contribution, then reciprocate by you making a contribution. All of us can be teachers, in a sense, you know, recommend a book that's really helped to change your life, pass it on to someone else. You don't have to stand on the at the podium, on the platform, to affect someone's life. You can just, on a Tuesday morning at Denny's, in a conversation, you recommend a book. You just say, John, you got to get this book. I really think it's great. He gets it. He reads it. Comes back a little while later and says, wow, that book's starting to change my life. And then 2 or 3 years from now, he gives this incredible testimonial about his success. And he says, let me tell you where it all began. I was sitting with Jim Rohn at Denny's on a Tuesday morning for breakfast, and he recommended this little book. So not from a seminar setting, not from the podium, right? Not from the pulpit, even a sermon, but just in just conversation, passing along an idea, a book, something that might make a contribution to somebody's life.
Make contributions to really anyone at whatever level they're at.
True. Because, you know, we're all at different stages in our life. I'm just celebrated my birthday number 76. Interestingly enough, in Iceland, I was lecturing there. Several of the Scandinavian countries got together and sent a big group of about 1,000 to a seminar I did in Iceland. They had a 40-voice men's choir come from the local community to sing for me. Happy birthday in several languages, and it was quite a celebration. That was last September. So at my age, you know, the formula for my life is doing a little less of this and a little more of this. I'm into energy management now as well as time management.
What are the keys to energy management?
Yeah. I told the Italians I can't stay up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning now and drinking wine and listening to all the songs. Because all they need in Italy is somebody to bring a guitar or an accordion, and they'll stay up till 2 or 3 o'clock. And I say no more 2 or 3 o'clock. 1 o'clock in the morning maybe, but not 2 or 3. Because I got to conserve my energy a little more than I used to.
A little?
Traveling is just hard work, you know, packing and unpacking and getting through.
I don't know.
Customs and all the security and stuff. But to get there, you got to go. But then when I get there, I have all these unique experiences. The last time I was in Pisa, last year in Pisa, Italy, 4,000 in my class. And when I finished my lecture, which was about 3 hours long, all 4,000 of these Italians stood up and sang for me, My Way, Frank Sinatra's song, My Way.
Oh, my goodness.
It was just a thrilling moment. In true Italian style, with hands raised in the air. And just amazing. Those are fun stories to come home and tell my grandchildren. Here was the scene. A choir of 4,000 and an audience of one. And I was the audience. So then when that happens, Mary, I say, for all the work and all the stuff it took to get there, small price to pay.
Well, so and here we are in the first of the year. Any tips that you may have around goal setting, especially around kind of balancing the attainable, realistic goals with ones that are either too big, too grand, or too small? Any tips around that?
Yeah, my approach to goal setting is probably a little different than most. I just say you just got to if I could acquire everything I wanted to make my life worthwhile, what would that list be? That's the list to make. Now, there's some practical goals. You know, what kind of productivity do I need in the next 90 days? Do I need to reach the next level in the company I work for? Recognition, goals for your family, some short-term goals. But then the rest of it is simply a dream list. If everything worked extremely well, one thing I'd like to have is a cabin in the mountains. Another thing I'd like to have is this. And you just start making that list, not thinking how you can acquire it, but what would make your life uniquely and extraordinarily worthwhile? Then it's surprising how it unfolds. Where I am today in Beverly Hills, I kept driving by years ago. I raised my family here in the 60s of Beverly Hills. This unique place on Rodeo Drive, and this is now where I live. One of my goals was to have a residence for each season. And I remember several years ago when I finally reached that goal for a residence for each season. If you just start thinking like that, dreaming like that, what would make, for me, my family, my grandchildren, what would make my life worthwhile? Then generosity needs to play a role, because sometimes we work more harder to be generous than just for the things we need. First, a man must produce enough to survive. And is that all there is to life? And the answer is certainly not. Now he decides to get married. Now the equation changes. He must produce enough for himself and for his wife. And someone says, well, why do that? Why not just take care of yourself? And the answer is because that's the lesser life, just taking care of yourself. It's okay, but it's the lesser life. So now he takes on responsibility to live a better life. So now he must produce enough for himself and for his wife. Now they have children. The man says, well, now with children, I must produce enough for myself and for my family. And the question is, why do that? Why not just live a little simpler and just take care of yourself? And all of us would answer, hey, to live a more extraordinary life, why not take on the responsibility? Now the man makes a unique decision to produce more than he needs for himself and for his family. Someone says, well, now that's gone off the deep end. Why do that? And the answer is very simple, to become generous, to be a person that gives, that shares. So someone says, well, that would be a good life. Now he goes another step further, and he decides to produce much more than he needs for himself and for his family. And someone says, well, now that's really off the scale. Why would you work that hard? Why do all that? And the answer is to live an even more extraordinary life. Then he goes to the ultimate step and decides to produce far more than he needs for himself and for his family. And we would call that the ultimate extraordinary life. Let's say the man earns $10 million this year, and he and his family only need to live, well, $3 million. You know, some families are a little more expensive than others, but let's say $3 million would cover it. Now he's got $7 million to share. And the question always is, why do that? You know, why work that hard? Why produce that much in terms of value? And the answer is to live the ultimate extraordinary life. To give away far more than you keep. So along comes Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, combining their fortunes now, which combined is what now? 60, 70 billion. And they're going to give it all away. Support worthy projects. We call that living an extraordinary life.
When you mentioned family and parenting, so I want to throw a little question out to you around parenting tips, because I work with quite a few, actually, high net worth clients, and I see sort of the challenge that can happen between, you know, when there's all this wealth, it can deflate motivation levels for children. So I'm curious, you know, what kind of tips that you'd have for, you know, parenting when you really have enough to take care of your children for a lifetime, but we want them to go out and live extraordinary lives.
Yeah, there's plenty of good examples of people who came from fortune and, you know, they're still making more fortune. Somebody says, well, you know, money corrupts. But that's true with everything. Power corrupts, and it corrupts at every level. Ultimate power corrupts ultimately. Absolutely. But the corruption of power starts early, when a three-year-old hits another three-year-old over the head because he's a little bigger, a little stronger, and if he's not restrained, he'll do it again. If he's not further restrained, he'll probably enjoy it. And we have now the beginning of an uncivilized person who must be taught the proper use of his power. So the temptation to misuse starts early, when one child, you know, tends to dominate another. And that if you want to live in a decent society where everyone gets along, you got to stop at the stop sign, you got to restrain your power, A powerful father must be careful that his children don't just live in his shadow.
Right.
And if he is rich, he has to make sure that he passes along the formula that made him rich and, you know, the wise use of money and what to do with it. So, yes, power can corrupt and money can corrupt and everything corrupt. We're all, you know, subject to temptation. But the great prayer says, lead us around temptation, deliver us from evil. That's part of the challenge of life, not to be distracted by things that are going to not serve us well.
So how do you help develop character in children?
I think probably best by example. Get them to become readers and leaders, you know. Sports helps to do it, you know, if it's a good sports program. You know, I played basketball in high school, you know, got a lot from it, learning how to work on a team, working together. In fact, I mentioned it, I had a class, 16,000 in my class in Bangkok last year, and they came from, you know, several different countries. And I knew that they all wanted to meet each other, and that was impossible. So at the close of my talk, I said, I want you to turn to four or five people right around you, shake their hand, or if you know them, give them an embrace, and say to them, I go with you when you leave here. And imagine all of the good wishes of 16,000 people going with you with their prayers for your success. The transfer of power can be as simple as a handshake. The illustration I used when I played basketball, you know, before we all took to the floor, we all got together, right? The first team, the five of us, and put our hands on top of one another. You've seen them do that, right? Where they all put their hands together and did a little chant of some kind. What that is to do, one, to say we're all together, all of us are for you. And you are for all of us, and it was a transfer of power and enthusiasm and best wishes and we're gonna win. That stuff is all powerful and tangible. It was a sight to see. For about 15 or 20 minutes, it was a most extraordinary event in Bangkok when people turned to one another and says, when you leave here, I go with you. I go with you. I go with you. I send with you my best wishes. When your child has a fever, you'll feel the power of my prayer. You know, that sort of camaraderie is just extraordinary.
I know we're approaching the top of the hour, and gosh, I feel like we've barely even scratched the surface as far as where we could continue to go, but it is an hour call. I guess maybe as final thoughts, first off, for everyone listening on the call, I just really want to thank you for being here and just also encourage everyone to take advantage of the bonus offer of 15% off of any product. You just simply use the code LIFECOACH. And I know your March event is already sold out. We thought we could get to talk about that today. But
yeah, that's sold out.
But rumor has it you may be doing another event in the fall?
In the fall.
Okay. So the best way to find out about those dates and so forth is to be sure and sign up for Jim Rohn's ongoing newsletter. And there's a ton of amazing articles on his site as well. But, you know, get that. That's free. It's great to take advantage of that. And then you can be lucky enough to go and hear a full 2 days of Jim. You've got a little taste of that. And, gosh, Jim, I just truly want to thank you from the depth of my heart for taking your time to be with us today and spend this time with you in conversation. And I know all of my listeners will join me in sending you just a big group virtual hug.
Oh, I appreciate that.
And appreciation, kind of take all that energy in from all of us.
Yeah, I'll take it with me as I go through my day today. Thanks a million.
Yeah,
and I send it all back.
Thank you. And just any final comments to our listeners today?
Yeah, you know, do what I did. I learned to do in the very beginning. I'm 25 years old when I started hearing some of this life-changing stuff. I passed it on immediately. when Mr. Shove said, get this book, I got the book. But I not only got the book, the same day I got the book, I told somebody about it. I said, I've got this book, right? It looks like it's going to really make a difference in my life. So I started sharing immediately. I think that was one of the secrets. And I got hooked on that. Because here's one of the greatest experiences in life for everybody on the phone call is when your name appears in somebody's testimonial. When someone says, here's the person who found me, here's the person who got me started, here's the person who gave me excellent information, here's the person who wouldn't let me quit, gave me more reasons for staying than for leaving, here's the person who believed in me until I could believe in myself, and then they mention your name. It's one of life's great experiences. So that's been happening to me, and I'm sure it's been happening to all of you on this phone. Let's make it happen a lot more.
Yep, I've gotten addicted to that myself, and just so touched by you and your work. And I just want to thank all of our listeners again for being here, and thank you, Jim. And maybe we can do it again sometime. And I just will just continue to be one of your raving fans and support your work and spread the word out there.
Well, thanks a million, Mary.
Okay.
And thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I know it's a busy day for me and for all of you. But good ideas can make major changes.
Right.
Everybody have a good day. Thanks.
Go forth with a great year. Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of Conversations with the Masters with your host, Mary Allen. If you would like to participate in upcoming live conference call interviews, visit www.lifecoachmary.com. Transcripts and audio of previous interviews with such masters as Wayne Dyer, Carolyn Mace, Debbie Ford, Byron Katie, and others are available on iTunes or at www.lifecoachmary.com. For more information on the work of Mary Allen, her upcoming Success and Inner Peace Boot Camp, or to sign up for her free online newsletter, Soulfully Living, and to receive inspiring daily quotes, visit lifecoachmary.com. Thank you for being committed to your own personal and spiritual development, and thank you for spreading the word about the Conversations with the Masters series. We wish you a fabulous day.